I said, are you ready for the word of God today? Amen. Let's pray and receive get ready to receive the word of God. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to receive from heaven, receive from your holy written word. Your word is eternal. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we thank you for the entrance of the word that will bring and give light and give understanding to us in really simple, clear terms. We thank you for divine illumination, revelation that will transform us for the better forever. In Jesus' most precious and holy name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So today we're going to be talking about faith that moves mountains. Everybody say faith that moves mountains. So we're talking about faith and family series. And in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 26, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. What do you have faith? Who do you have faith in? Not in the Democrats or the Republicans. Not in the United States. Not in your family. Have faith in who? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will come be done, he will have whatever he says. Amen. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire, you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will what? Have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Praise the Lord. Now let's review some of the principles of the law of faith. Principle number one, that we all been given the same measure of the God kind of faith. Everybody say, I have a measure of the God kind of faith. And so when we look into the sky, friends, and when we look out into the expanse, vast wonder of creation, we can say, I have a measure of what created that. You have a measure of what created the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the hills, the beautiful valleys, the flowers. You have a measure of that. Glory to God. Romans 12:3 says, for I say though through the grace of given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everybody say, I have a measure of the God kind of faith. I have a measure of the mountain moving faith of God. I have a measure of the faith that created the worlds and the universe in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Principle number two, we are reminded in verse 23 of what we just read in Mark 11 and verse 24, and we learn from these verses that real genuine faith works both by saying it and praying it. Faith works by saying and also by praying. Verse 23 gives us the principles, the outline for the saying or speaking part of faith. It is the higher form of faith that you release. Praying is in verse 24. Amen. And when you pray it, you still have to say it, because when you say in Jesus' name, amen, you got to maintain your confession of faith and your stand in faith. So you can nullify, neutralize, or negate your prayers of faith by saying the wrong things after you prayed them. Principle number three, we also learned that the fundamentals of faith teach us the most basic law of faith that believes in your heart and says with your mouth. So we're not just saying anything, we're saying what we believe. What we've been fully persuaded of in our hearts. That's real, genuine Bible, basic Bible faith. Real simple as that. what we've been persuaded as truth and true in our heart, what we believe and are fully persuaded of in our hearts, we speak out with confidence boldly out of our mouths. That's the fundamentals. Like one person said, the door to the supernatural, in other words, where we open the door for God to enter in the scene and the arena of our lives, it swings on two hinges, believing and speaking. Amen. And so, faith believes with the heart. Matthew 21, 21 through 22. So Jesus answered and said unto him, assuredly I say unto you, if you have faith and do not doubt, and you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also say to this mountain, say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Do what is fig tree, but cast and see, and it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Romans 10:10 tells us that for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you use your heart to believe, your spirit, not your cardiovascular vessel, not your blood pump, but your spirit. You believe with your spirit, and then you speak with through your mouth. Believing is the attitude of faith, an attitude of confidence of God in his word. Speaking is the confession through your mouth. It is an act or essential or initial act of faith. Our faith must be strong enough to move our mouth before it will ever be strong enough to move our mountain. And we said, if you don't say anything, you lose by default. You lose by default. So every day and in every way, we are to live by faith. So we don't go out of the house and go to work without our faith going to work. And we often encourage people, you ought to be saying something about every aspect and arena of your life. Because faith works the same in any sphere, any arena, in any realm. And so is your faith working? Now you think about it. Just for a moment, faith working on your physical body. That means you're believing and speaking things about your body. Now, if you don't say anything about your body, what happens? You lose by default. You lose your health and well-being by default. If you're not believing and speaking over your relationships, married, if you're married, because we're talking about faith and family, you should be speaking over your marriage. Not just praying for your marriage, but speaking the word of God, what you believe in your heart about your marriage. That's your faith going to work on your marriage. Your faith going to work on your family. What do you believe about your family? What do you believe about your family's future? What are you speaking over your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? Come on now. Hello, y'all going home already. What are you saying about your finances, your bills, your debt obligations? You see, you can say what it is, but Jesus said you have what you say. So what you say is what you get, and what you've got is what you said. You never rise above the level of your confession of faith. Your confession rules, your dominates you. So if you say, I never have money, I'm always running out of money, I'm always coming up short in money, the money's tight right now, then you're getting what you say. Jesus didn't say what you have. He said, you have what you say. And when you begin to say in faith, you're on your way by faith. So the fundamentals are basically this. That faith believes, says, and acts on the word of God or a word from God. Man, this is just enough to get up and watch this this broadcast and click in this morning, amen, and come to church today if you're here. Praise God. Principle number four, faith. Your faith level determines your victory level. 1 John 5:4 says, every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our, what? Faith. Your faith level determines your victory level. Your faith level determines your victory level. So if you don't have a lot of victory, then you need to get your faith up. Most people get their frustrations up or get their fretting up, meaning worry and anxiety, or they get their fury up, their anger. They're mad about everything. No, don't get your fist up. Get your faith up. Because your faith level determines your victory level. I got one amen. Praise God. I'm preaching better than anybody saying amen. Hallelujah. Principle number 5, Jesus is the source of our faith, and he will help us develop in it if we put his word first place. Now, you got to get this one. Because Hebrews 12:2 tells us in the New Living Translation, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So if you have imperfect faith, if you have underdeveloped faith, who do you need to look to and look at? You need to look at the Lord, Jesus Christ, because he can help you make the adjustments. Through the agency of the Holy Spirit, he will cause you to adjust how you're believing or how you're receiving or lack thereof. He's the one who initiated faith in you, and he's the one who will perfect and mature and develop faith in you. Some people are weak in faith when it comes to finances. Well, he's the author. He's the initiator. He's the developer of your faith. If you only got $50,000 faith a year, then you need to get developed. Keep developing. Get more highly developed in faith. If you're struggling and frustrated with your family, you need to go to Jesus and to who is the author and developer of your faith and get developed. Because the joy of awaiting him who endured the cross in disregarding the shame, now is seated at the place of honor besides God's throne. So you can always inquire the Lord if your faith is not working, if you're not making faith connections, and you're not saying, Lord, I'm not seeing victory, blessings, and triumph in my family. We always got fights, arguments, fussing. There's a lot of strife and division, discord in my family. What do you need to do? You need to go to Jesus and say, you're the initiator. You're the champion. You're the perfecter of my faith. Lord, I submit to you, and I choose to put the word of God first place, and I allow you to help for you to develop me in faith for my family. There's no need for a Christian believer and born-again child of God to struggle because you didn't get imperfect faith. You got a measure of the God kind of faith, and your faith can work for you just like it worked for Jesus and just like it worked for your Father God. It will work every time. Smith Wigglesworth said this, any man or woman can be freed by faith, no matter how bad they are bound. He used the word fettered, but we don't usually talk that term today. No matter how you're fettered, any man can be changed by faith. Any woman can be changed by faith. Any situation can be changed by faith. Any situation. Take the limits off of God, people. Take the lid off of God. Let him develop your faith for your finances. Let him develop your faith for your family. Let him develop your faith for your physical health and well-being. If you're not making the faith connection, then go to the Lord and say, what's going on, Lord? It's not working. Don't wait 3 months, 3 years, 30 years. See, ask and seek the Lord for what to do when you're not experiencing manifested victory, triumph, or you're not getting results or answers. Jesus is the way, friends. He's the way to triumph. He's the way to victory. He's the living word, and he will help show you the revealed word of God to your life and to your heart. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the how. We always say Jesus is the way, but the Holy Spirit is the how. The Holy Spirit is your coach, your partner, the God on the inside of you who will show you how to release your faith and act in faith and make adjustments to your faith. Hallelujah. And we learned last week that your faith won't work if you don't forgive. First place we said check when your faith is not working is your love walk and your forgiveness walk. Mark 11, 25, 26 says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. And your Father which is in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Now, how do you know if you got anything against anyone? It comes out of your mouth. When you begin to complain, you're in doubt. You're not in faith. When you begin to criticize, when you begin to get cynical and critical, you're not in faith, you're in doubt. And all doubt's fear-based. Unforgiveness is fear-dependent. So you don't believe that they deserve freedom and release by you giving forgiveness. Why? Because you doubt that they will change. You doubt things will get better. And so that doubt is fear-based. We often said doubt complains, worries, and is sad. And you can add mad, too. Everybody's quiet today. Praise God. But he said, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespass. See, your faith cannot outdo your forgiveness. Your faith cannot outdo your forgiveness. In other words, your faith life and faith walk will never rise higher than your forgiveness walk and your love walk. Every step out of love is a step out of God. And it's a step out of the will and plan of God for your life. God's plan is for us to live in love. And make love a daily choice. Love and forgiveness. You choose to love. You choose to forgive. See, unforgiveness is the number one thing that hinders God's people from receiving from him. That's the number one. So we always say, check your love walk. See if you got anything against anybody. How do you know? Well, I'm suggesting to you, if it's coming out of your mouth, then it's in your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12. So if you're complaining about your children, if you're complaining about your spouse, if you're complaining about your circumstances, if you're complaining about your situation, you have not forgiven the people associated with that. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Doubt complains, worries, and is sad and mad. See, faith won't work if you won't forgive. That's because an offended heart stifles faith. See, some people will be giants in faith, but they let some tiny little grudge, some tiny little aught hinder their faith growth and development 5 days ago, 5 years ago, 5 months ago. Sometimes even 15 years ago, we're still at the same level of faith. Why? Because we let that tiny little thing that somebody did us wrong still bother us. We haven't released forgiveness toward it. Hallelujah. An offended heart stifles faith and blocks answers to prayer, and we see that clearly explained by the Lord Jesus Christ in the verses we just read. So you have to refuse selfishness. You have to refuse self-centeredness, acting out of strife, bitterness, and resentment, and resist the temptations to harbor any kind of ill will, any type of animosity, any type of spitefulness, any types of malice or offenses and hatred. And you have to choose to love and choose to forgive. Romans 13:10 tells us this: love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It never hurts anybody. Therefore, love meets all the requirements in the fulfillment of the law. So when you talk about people, you hurt them, because there's no inconsequential words. Jesus said every idle word you have to give an account for. But by your words you're justified, or by your words you're condemned. So what kind of words are coming out of your mouth and you releasing over the people in your sphere of influence, in your world, or even in your own house? Your words are powerful. We must take them seriously. Love is a commitment to meet the needs of another friend, another person. Now, there's a higher kind of faith I want to introduce you to and present to you. It's called the praise cure. Someone once said, praise is the highest expression, one of the highest expressions or kinds, forms of faith. Now let's look at Romans, an example of Abraham. It says in Romans chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, it says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. See, doubt and unbelief run together. He wasn't complaining, God want me to have a baby, I'm 99 years old. I'm over 90 years old. And Sarah hadn't had a baby in 89, or going on 90 years. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't in doubt. He wasn't in unbelief. He said he didn't stagger out of the promise, because God promised him a child out of his own flesh and from his own wife. He said he did not stagger out at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. How was he strengthened in faith? Giving glory to God. Hallelujah. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, let me listen to this, friends. Fully persuaded and fully convinced faith is a faith that gives glory to God. We said it before over and over again. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and what? Is glad. See, giving glory is praise and thanks to God. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that's a present tense imperative. That means you give thanks before, you give thanks during, and you give thanks after. Now, too many times we giving thanks after everything's all settled and done and complete. That's good, but that's not the best. That's not the best. See, to experience victory, you got to have thanksgiving before. And as we've said before, there's no place between being thankful and being unthankful. You either one or the other. What does faith do? Rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. We're talking about the praise cure. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58 in the Passion Translation. But we thank God for giving us victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. So now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable, and enduring. Live your lives with an unstable confidence, unshakable confidence, excuse me. We know that we prosper and excel in every season. How? By serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive and fruit that endures. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to read an excerpt from the book entitled His Healing Power, because we want people to really hear. Now, faith works the same in any arena, any sphere, any realm. So does it work the same in the healing arena, physical healing arena, as well as the financial or family arena? Now listen to this cure, the praise cure. About she has a chapter in that book, His Healing Power, entitled The Praise Cure. The Praise Cure. Listen to this. She says, this is Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman. Now, before Brother Hagin produced any books, Kenneth E. Hagin, he carried around a couple of books, and several of them, a couple of them were from Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman. And he carried some other key books around before he published his own books. But she says this about the praise cure. I do not say that the cure for which I'm going to speak is the only sure cure. It is the most expensive one ever known. But the price was paid by another. For it was purchased not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's 1 Peter 1:19. 1 Peter 1:19. And the poorest man enjoy its fullest benefits. That means no matter how bad you get, no matter how bad it gets, you can enjoy its fullest benefits. I'm talking about the praise cure. Now listen to what she said. She calls it, I call it the praise cure. Because it's most readily applied by simply singing yourself into it. Listen to Psalms 100 verse 4. She quotes, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. She goes on to say, you know, you can sing yourself and shout yourself into and through things that you can't get into and through any other way. She says, Dr. Lillian Benjamin, when we stand on God's word, listen to this, for salvation and healing, after we've met God's conditions. Now remember, faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. Won't work when you got offense or you're in disobedience to God. You got to meet. And she said, you've grounded every weapon of rebellion. Rebellion is anything from gross negligence. That means you're not doing what the Lord has already told you and called you to do. And you're way behind schedule, to where he's going to have to find somebody else to do what he called you to do. That's gross negligence. Or rebellion could be as far as just simple disobedience to the Lord's last directions or directives to you. It could be disobedience when it comes to your money, your time, your prayers that he wants you to pray, the assignments that he gives you. You're not obedient. You're in rebellion. So you have to ground every weapon of rebellion. Now, he said, we can praise, she says, excuse me, Dr. Lillian Benjamin, we can praise our way through to perfection, perfect manifested victory. Listen, we can praise our way through to perfect manifested victory. This I call the praise cure. Listen to what she says. And it never fails when the praise is the outflow of a heart resting on God's unchanging word. There was a missionary, she gives a story, to China, staying at Mrs. Carrie Judd Montgomery's Beulah Heights in Oakland, California. She had the most wonderful healing of smallpox while on the field by the application of the praise cure. Listen to what she said. She fearlessly nursed a sister missionary who had the disease, though she had not been vaccinated, standing on God's promises that no plague should come nigh her dwelling. Then a very bad case of confluent smallpox that it looked like to the doctors came out on her. Now remember the scenario is this missionary friend is helping another missionary who has the smallpox. She's standing on the word with her faith, just like we're doing today. We're standing on Psalms 91, praying Psalm 91. Hope you're praying that every day. And sometimes you're standing on the word, but things still happen in the natural. But if you're not in fully persuaded faith, you get all flustered. You drift back into doubt, fear, and unbelief. Are you listening to me? So this lady was ministering to one of her friends on the mission field who had small. She was standing in faith on the word not to get smallpox, but then smallpox came upon her. It broke out all over. And he said she did not know what to do. So she asked the Lord. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You ask the Lord. And guess what the Lord told her? He told her this. this according to Dr. Lee Mill. He told her to sing and praise him for his faithfulness to his word. Sing and praise for him for his faithfulness to his word. So they isolated her, and he told her to be quiet, lie quiet. But she said if she didn't praise God, the very stones would cry out. So she sang and praised. The doctors said he feared for her life. The case was serious, and awful complications threatened her life. But she praised and sang, and she was evidently delirious, but he had so little help that he couldn't restrain her. He wanted to restrain her, the doctor would. So she sang and praised. And they told her if there any chance she recovered, the doctors, she would be disfigured for life. So she sang and praised louder than ever. Because she said the Lord told her to praise him for what? His faithfulness to his word. And they asked, why do you praise so much? She answered, because I have so many pops on me. God shows me I must praise him for each one separately. And she answered, and she kept right at it. And the Lord had shown her in a vision two baskets. One containing her praising, which was half full, and the other, which was her testing, or you can say her problem or the smallpox. It was full. He told her that the praise basket must be filled so that it would outbalance the other basket. So she kept at it. Her songs and shouts were so spirit-filled that they were contagious, that the Christian nurses couldn't resist joining in. So they kept the place ringing. At last, the Lord showed her that the praise basket was full. Listen to this. And so she kept on, kept the place ringing, and overflowing. The basket was full over. And she saw it sink, the praise basket, and the testing basket, or the smallpox problem, it did what? It lifted and vanished, and leaving no trace at that moment, it was eruption throughout her body, and it left no trace. Every symptom vanished, no trace in anyone so much as a single scar on her body. Perhaps that may seem almost too much for some people to believe. But she says, I can furnish from my own personal experience a case where a smallpox eruption disappeared instantly in an answer to believing prayer and the application of the praise cure. She said, one evening, we were about to open the meeting at a mission where I was working there, and a man rushed into me into the hallway and asked for a few moments of private conversation with me. Dr. Lehman says, after I led him in the prayer room, she said, Dr. Yeomans, my wife has just broke out all over with smallpox. How do you know it's smallpox? I inquired. Dr. Lee Mielman speaking. She said, why, we had a doctor who said it was so and told us not to stir from the house, and he was going down to get the health doctor and to place us in quarantine without a moment's delay. But as soon as he had left the house, my wife said, run down to the mission, ask for Dr. Yeoman and to pray, and I'm sure God will clear this plague off my skin and out of my blood. Now listen to this. So right on the spot, we applied the praise cure. And the brother ran home to find his wife without a single trace of the disease. The latter came. The doctor returned. The health doctor was unmercifully teased at the latter of the reported case of smallpox when there was not a pox in sight, nor was any symptoms of the disease in her body. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, let's just give God some praise right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, some of us, our praise bucket is not even half full. It's empty. And praise is the highest. We want everybody praying for us, but we're not doing any praising in and through the situation. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him one more time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to your holy name, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for your faithfulness to your word. We thank you for your faithfulness to your word, Lord. Now, here's what she said. This was Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman says. Yes, the praise cure works every time. It's not unpleasant. It's rather, it is delightful. And the cost of it has been met for us by another. It's available this moment to each of us. She says, this is Dr. Lillian Mion. She says, are you ready to begin it? See, the last clause of 1 Peter 1:8 tells us exactly how to begin. Believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, see, she says this. Just believe what God says that Jesus has done for you. See, when we take communion today, we're not just taking a wafer and some juice or some water and crackers or juice and crackers at the house. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. We're believing what Jesus has done for us through his broken body and his shed blood. Come on now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he says that we believe what he's done for us, body, soul, that's your mind, your emotions, your intellect, your will. If you got a broken mind or if you can't sleep, many people can't sleep because they're nervous and worried about their future, and you need to take the praise cure and take communion and thank God for what he's done for your mind, your mentality, your mindset. He gives his beloved sleep and rest. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, its forms and manifestations, and spirit. What has he done for you? Then we do, she says that you think about it, you talk about it, you sing about it, you shout about it, and the praise cure has begun. Come on now, let's think about it, let's shout about it. Come on, say hallelujah, say glory to God, say thank you, Jesus, say praise you, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness to your word. Your word says that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed. I'm healed right now because my body has been, healing has been paid for my physical body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I thank you for your faithfulness to your word, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness to your word that you said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be saved, even our whole family. Father God, I thank you for your faithfulness to your word to save my family. Somebody say glory to God. See, some of us can't praise God for 2 or 3, 4 minutes. Remember, if you're silent, you lose by default. And let me say this to you, friends, just out of a pastoral, compassionate heart of love. But I love you enough to correct you. If it's needing corrected. So don't think this is evil or harsh, but correcting is good. Correction always yields perfection, direction, amen, and protection. Correction is good. But sometimes we have to get out of what we call pride, because pride destroys, and pride won't humble itself to pray or to praise God. Many times we have opportunity during the worship time of service or in our personal life experience in our devotional time. And all we want to do is pray, or petition and cry about stuff. But when are we going to shout for joy? When are we going to praise God with no reservation or no limitation? When are we going to shout the victory but while the walls are still standing up? See, pride destroys, and it won't humble itself to praise. Some people won't even lift their hands during praise service. Why? I'm too proud of myself. I'm too dignified. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and the haughty spirit before a fall. 1 Peter 5:5-7 says, likewise, the younger people, submit yourself to the elders. And yea, all of you must be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. Everybody, you should walk out of the door with humility clothes on. Your clothes should have humility written all over them and written on the tablets of your heart. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to who? The humble. He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble, see, healing's a grace, friends. Prosperity is a grace. Family peace and family salvation are provided to you and me by grace. But the grace only goes to those who are humble enough to receive. God resists, he opposes, he frustrates and defeats the proud. The people that say, I got this. I'm going to try to handle this myself. You're basically saying, God, I don't need your help. So that's the people that won't pray and they won't praise. The Holy Spirit told Brother Hagin this when he was on the bed of sickness at 17 years old, and he had been bedfast for going on 15 months, and the Holy Spirit was making him adjustment. He was yielding to correction, so he got further direction. If you don't yield to the correction, you'll never get the direction. So the Holy Spirit was telling him, you do believe as far as you know. He was sick. He was very sick. He had partial paralysis. He couldn't move his lower extremities. He had 3 incurable blood diseases, and he had a deformed heart that didn't beat right. And anytime he exert too much energy, he would pass out and faint and black out. 17 years old, couldn't even run and play, couldn't do nothing. And the Holy Spirit corrected him and said, you do believe, because he was mad. Because he couldn't get his healing. He said, you do believe as far as you know. And then he said that he yielded to the Holy Spirit and yielded to correction and made an adjustment on his faith. And then he got direction. And he said, if you believe you received your healing, you would thank me for it. And without anybody teaching him at 17 years old and everybody just being pity party on him and having petting him as a powder. And they said, hold on, boy, you're going to be home soon. You're going to go home with the Lord to be with some. And being people, or they were just being religiously pious and really unbelief, embalmed in unbelief. And he said, without anybody teaching him, he lifted both hands and began to thank and praise God. Remember, doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, give thanks, and is glad. See, this pride gets in the way. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time. Look at James 4:6, but he gives more grace. God gives more grace. Today is a day to get more grace. This is a table of grace. When we come and take the communion elements, we say, I get to get more grace. I'm going to humble myself to get more grace. To run my race and not fall on my face. He get more grace. He says, God resists the proud but gives grace to who? The humble. James 4:10 says, humble yourself, therefore, yourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. See, friends, we have to remove every prideful area of our lives. Pride in the middle of those 5 letters is the word, is the alphabet I. And that's the big issue. You have an I problem. Me, myself, and I. You think I can handle this, or I'm mad at people, or I'm mad at God, or I'm mad about my circumstances, so I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to praise God. That's not faith. That's doubt, fear, and unbelief. See, when pride rises, we know that destruction is near. Pride destroys your destiny, and believing to receive your desire and to praise God. See, it destroys your destiny and your desire to praise and thank God for the victory that's in Christ Jesus. Pride is the forerunner to destruction. See, when you see pride functioning in the life of others, you know that destruction and deterioration is near. Pride doesn't value wisdom, nor the word of truth. Because it thinks, I know better. I've been down this road before. I know that things not going to change. I don't believe anything will happen. I don't believe that pastor or that preacher is anointed to touch me and heal me or pray for me. I don't believe God's going to answer my prayers. What's wrong with that? You got to put that eye on the altar. You got to put that pride down. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there's no wise guidance is, the people fall. But the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Pride doesn't value guidance of wise counselors. Pride will derail your destiny and cause you to shipwreck. Pride isolates and will cause you to wither in the wilderness, because isolation is independence. It's a celebration of selfishness. That means you eliminate God and the people of God from the equations of your life. This is what I got to do. Pride will delay your promise and keep you in bondage. Pride is the enemy's weapon to keep you from in the cycles of defeat, discouragement, and depression. It's the doom loop that traps you, brought by the devil. See, we cannot allow to selfishly justify our anger or our arrogance. Samuel tried to do that. In 1 Samuel 15:23, he says, Saul tried to do that. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness and iniquity as idolatry. See, when people get prideful, they get stubborn. Pride is the strength of sin. You don't think I'm not doing anything really bad when I cuss, when I fuss, when I fight, when I run around and folly with people who don't belong in my marriage union, who are not in my marriage union. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm decoding it a little bit. Okay, so hallelujah. Or you're getting drunk on other wine instead of new wine. That's pride, thinking I'm not doing anything wrong. Pride is the strength of sin. Because Saul rejected to hear the word of the Lord, then God rejected him from being king. In other words, Saul's rebellion, pride, and stubbornness caused him to forfeit the kingdom. Pride will rip the kingdom right out of your hands. Pride destroys, and humility exalts. Humility is the key to promotion and progress in your life. Choose you humble yourself and pray and praise. Some people say, "Well, I'm just too reserved and dignified to get to shout." You remember this lady in the smallpox? Even the doctor was telling her, "Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut down." He didn't have enough people to help restrain her, but she kept praising louder. But then the eruption of the praise cure came to manifestation of her complete victory in her body. Will you praise God to the victory manifest in your body or in your home or in your finances? Let the word of the Lord lead you. Now let's apply the praise cure a little bit more. Look at this. 1 Peter 1:6-9. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, for thou..." 1 Peter 1:6-9. "In this you greatly rejoice, so now through a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, testing times," just like that lady, "and the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perish, for it be tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love." Talking about the Lord. "And now you do not see him, yet believing." You believe. Do you believe God's word? Come on now, do you believe his word? Do you believe God means what he says? And he says what he means. When he says, "By his stripes you were healed," that's what he meant. 2,000 years ago, what happened through Jesus' stripes to your body meant that you are healed. Healing belongs to you. When it comes to salvation, do you think he meant what he did and what he said? When he said, "It is finished," That means it's finished. Salvation is complete. Victory is yours. Triumph is yours. Blessing is yours. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? He said, yet believing, you rejoice. See, when you believe, when you're in faith, you rejoice. With what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That means you're not on defrost level. Your microwave was on high. That means heavenly triumphant joy. That means you're like in a parade and you're celebrating. You're celebrating the victory of Jesus. And he said, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, here's some points I want to leave you with. Number one, praise cure points. The bridge between believing and receiving is rejoicing. Believing and receiving is rejoicing. Number two, when we stop rejoicing, we stop receiving. That's why you need to rejoice every day. The Bible even says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say what? Rejoice. If you only knew what's on the other side of your mountain, you were, and what happens in the spirit, you would rejoice every single day. Some of us have gone weeks without rejoicing. Come on now. You got to rejoice in the spirit. And rejoice in the Lord. You're not rejoicing in the situation. You're not rejoicing because that problem came in your life. You're rejoicing in the Lord. That means you're rejoicing in what Jesus did for you, in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his ascension, and what he's doing for you right now at the right hand of the Father. You're rejoicing in the Lord. The praise cure point number three, we give thanks in everything, not necessarily for everything. We give thanks in anything. Your car break now, what should you be doing? Giving thanks. That God, you're helping me to get it fixed or get it replaced. You're not thanking him for the broke down car or the accident that just occurred or the situation that rised up in your body. You're thanking him in that situation. In everything, give thanks. Colossians, it says rejoice always. I mean, Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Number four, we have to lay down and lay aside our sin. See, when you come to the communion table, the Bible says examine yourself. Judge yourself. Your conscience has to be clear. I don't have anything against anyone. And then it says, our weapons of rebellion. You got to lay down and lay aside your sin and your weapons of rebellion for our praise cure to be praise to be pure, authentic, and powerfully effective.
There was a lady in a church one time, it was said, she looked like the picture of holiness and piety. Christian piety. And even when she wore hats and looked beautiful, and everybody thought she was the most holy woman in the church. And she looked the part, talked the part in church. But when a man of God came into the room, the Lord showed her, he said, and she had a black cloud over her head. This is in church.
And she had gone almost 40 years without receiving her healing at all.
Elderly lady, looked religiously pious, looked super holy, and the Lord told the man of God, he said, I've been trying to heal her and set her free for 40 years, but she's been in rebellion against me. For 40 years.
See, we got to lay down our sin and lay aside any weapons of rebellion.
Somebody say, glory to God. And again, rebellion is gross negligence and or willful denial, delayed obedience, or just downright disobedience to God's revealed will or word in your life. You know that's against the word of God. You know that's against the will of God to your life, and you do it anyway. That's rebellion.
We got to examine ourselves. We got to judge ourselves. We got to be quick to repent, be quick to forgive, and be quick to believe. Praise cure point number five. We praise God for his faithfulness to his word. Why? Because his word won't return void. His word, he's ready to perform his word. God is not a liar. What he said, he will do. And if he spoke it, he will make it good. Praise God. His covenant will not he will not break, nor alter the things that gone out of his mouth. So when you say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals every single one of my, forgives all of my iniquities, and who heals every single one of my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who fills my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles, that I'm strong, and I'm overcoming, and I'm soaring in Jesus' name. You praise him for his faithfulness to his word. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your word to me according to Psalms 107, verse 20, and it heals me and delivers me from any destructive force. I thank you for your faithfulness to your word, Lord. So we apply the praise cure. David did it in Psalms 34, 1 through 4. He said what? I will bless the Lord at what? All times. His praise shall what? Be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make its her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name again. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of what my fear. Some people are afraid to come outside, afraid to get in contact with me, afraid that somebody's going to breathe on them or spit on them or come in contact with them. No, we don't live out of fear. We live by faith. Somebody say glory to God. And he was being haunted by fear that the people were out to kill him, Saul's people. And the people that had committed treason against him or betrayed him, they were out to kill him. But he said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. He began with praise. He made a choice to praise God. He began to lift his hand. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His praise shall continue in my mind. What about those? What about in Job? It says that destruction and famine. He said, at destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. You shall laugh. And you will not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. You know, this coronavirus is a beast. But you know why they call it coronavirus? Because it has a crown. But Jesus has dethroned every crown in existence. Jesus is Lord. Coronavirus isn't ruling around here. Jesus is ruling, and Jesus is Lord around here. Praise God. Hallelujah. So come on, lift your hands and thank God and praise God, because he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. When we take communion, we say Jesus Christ is Lord. Coronavirus isn't Lord. The crown has been taken away. Jesus wears all crowns. He has all rule. He has all authority. We bless his holy name. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord. We saw the 10 lepers. One of them, and I'm going to do it because of time. Luke 17, where they 10 came. Bad condition, incurable situation. And all 10 of them were told to go wash and go tell the priests. And one came back and said, I'm healed. And they began to glorify God, began to thank God. The praise cure. The highest form of faith is praising and thanking God. Paul and Silas, even at midnight, they were beaten up, stripped, naked, hurting, backs of bleeding, put in the dungeon, put in the hole. And the Bible says at midnight. And I can hear Paul almost in today's contemporary language, devil, you did a good one trying to beat us up. But you didn't tape our mouth shut. Come on now. Amen. We said if you don't open your mouth, if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move your what? Your mountain. In other words, the devil should have taped their mouth shut. But he said at midnight, just an analogy, not just literal midnight, but midnight can be the worstest, darkest, most devastating time of your life. He said at midnight they prayed and they sang praises to God. They prayed and sang praises to God. Come on now. And the prisoners heard them. They didn't just overhear them. They heard them. They were singing and praising unashamedly in bold faith. They weren't complaining about the stripes. They weren't complaining about the prison. They were thanking him for his faithfulness to his word. And then suddenly the earthquake came and the prison shook and everyone's bands were loose and every door was open. Come on now. God can supernaturally show up on your behalf through the praise cure when you lift up your voice and lift up your shout. Hallelujah. And remember this. This is a key point to remember. Your voice is your address in the spirit. God landed on that location when they were singing and praising God. Guess what God will do to you and me? He will land right on your house, right on your location as you're praising and as you're thanking God. Somebody say glory to God. Last story, and I'm closing, that there was a lady who had cancer, a very horrible form of cancer. She was 34 years old, mother of three, and she applied the praise cure. She said, I'm going to take an hour or more a day and walk around my dining room table. And the Bible, the testimony is that she was kind of putting an imprint in the carpet because she was walking around. What was she doing? She was walking around her dining room table praising and thanking God. Had an incurable form of cancer, an aggressive, insidious, and malicious form of cancer that was so horrible. And she said they were going to die any moment. The doctors had given her a death sentence, but she applied the praise card. Someone said, glory to God. And God began to show up on that scene, and she went back to the doctor. Cancer's going down. Went back to the doctor. Cancer's almost diminished. Went back to the doctor. Cancer's all gone. No trace, no cells, no anything related to cancer in her physical body. She just praised God all the way through to her victory. Someone, would you stand to your feet with me today and just praise God and thank God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.